Hallelujah. You know, I was sharing during Hour of Power, when things look troubled in your country, don't complain about it. Do something about it. Speak the word. Speak the word only. You know, it's easy to grumble, but I remember Brother Hagin when he said, when he was alive, I didn't hear him say it. I heard what he documented and said that God was going to hold the church responsible for the things going on in this country and for the decisions that the President of the United States makes. And why is that? Because he's given us all power in heaven and earth. He's given us his name. He's given us his word. And so there's no need for us to complain about stuff. There's things for us to get together, join together, and pray and kick the devil out. Tell him to cease in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So Matthew 9, verse 27, it says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord." So he was trying to locate them. What were they believing? "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." You notice here, he didn't say, "According to my power, be it unto you." He didn't say, "According to my will, be it unto you." He said, "According to what? Your faith, be it unto you." And of course, he laid hands on them. He touched their eyes, and they healed. And they were healed. Verse 30, it says, "And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." And I like what Matthew 29:29 says in the Message. It says, "Become what you believe." Become what you believe. Or in the Goodspeed, it says, "Have what your faith expects." The New Living, it says, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Because of your faith, it will happen. And let's look at Mark 9. Let's look at verse 22. Mark 9, 22. And this is this particular account where they brought his son with a dumb spirit, and the disciples couldn't cast him out, and you know the rest of the story. But here, in picking up in verse 21, he asked the father, "How long ago, or how long has it been like this?" And he said, "Since a child." And oft times, verse 22, "and oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I'm reading from the King James. "And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that" what? "Believeth." I like the Good News translation. It says, "Have pity on us and help us if you possibly can." And Jesus said, "Yes, if you yourself can." Everything is possible for the person who has faith. I like the New Living. It says, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Jesus said, "What do you mean if I can?" That would be just like Jesus. "What do you mean if I can?" He says, "Anything is possible if a person believes." So you've got to believe. In other words, faith is the determining factor. You know, I was thinking about something just as I was sharing this. Turn over a minute. I was sharing this morning in John 15. In John 15, and look at verse 4 and 7 and 8. And we're talking about faith and according to your faith. And faith begins where what? Where the will of God is known. So you've got to know what the will of God is. Faith comes by hearing. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be not unwise, but what? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. So when you look at John 15, in verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch, we're the branch, cannot bear fruit of itself except what? It abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now look in verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now just take a look back at verse 4. It says, abide in me, and I in you. Who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking. Who is Jesus? He is the Word. So when he says, abide in me and I in you, what does he really mean by that? He said that, right? But then what did he say in verse 7? He said it again. If you abide in me and my what? And my words abide in you. Abide in me, and what did he say in verse 4? And I in you. He's saying, abide in me, and the words abide in you. That's what he said in verse 7 and verse 4. So it's not enough. He didn't just say, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, if he just said, abide in me and ask what you will, and that's it. He didn't say that. He said, abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say anything about faith here, does he? He doesn't even reference it. He doesn't say believe or faith. He doesn't say if you believe. He doesn't say have faith. If the word is in you, then faith is in you. Isn't that true? So if the words, if his word is in you, then faith is in you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is what he said. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. That's faith. His word's in you. You ask what you will. You're asking what his will is. And so you can see here, just a little footnote. Just was thinking about it. So let's go back to let's look at Luke 17. Luke 17. Luke 17, and let's look at verse 5. It says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, what? Increase our faith. You know, it's interesting here. They didn't say, give us faith. So they must have known that they had faith. They didn't say, give us faith. They said, what? Increase our faith. So here's the question. You don't get more faith by asking for more faith. You don't get more money by asking for more money. You don't get more time by asking for more time. You don't get more peace by asking for more peace. God gives seed to the sower, not the asker. He gives seed to the sower. So you've got to do what? Which is exactly what he's saying here. What was the response that Jesus had here? He said, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. So he's giving them a formula here. He's giving them a way to get more faith, if you could say it that way, or to increase their faith. Is by what? Using it. Just exactly what Geraldine was talking about. You get up and out, and so how do you get more, of the faith that you have or increase in the things of God, use what you have. And in this case, so she goes to the Philippines. Okay, so that is a way. You start using what you have. Use the faith that you have. You know, what did Pastor Sarah and Clinton say when they started the ministry? Ministers would say to them, despise not the day of small beginnings. So that means that you start where you are, and as you use it, God will start to increase what you have. But you got to use what you have. Increase our faith. So what did he say? He said, here's how you do it. If you had faith, well, they had faith, but they had to use it. He said, if you should say unto this sycamine tree, or you could say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but what? Believe that those things that you sayeth shall come to pass. You know, we were talking about this morning in Mark 11. Let's just jump over there. Mark 11. And of course, you know the story. I'm not going to read from verse 12, but he was hungered. Jesus was hungered. Comes by, finds a tree, didn't have figs on it. Says it wasn't the time of figs, was not the time. I would think if you were in that country, you'd know when the time of figs were. So that's why it probably bothered him. He said, this thing's not bearing fruit. So we cursed it. And then verse 21, Jesus calling to remember and saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. And so now he's making a statement. So he's going to follow up just like Luke 17. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, just like he said, say unto this sycamine tree, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So you can see here, what is verse 24? You pray and believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But it's got to be something that God has promised in his word. It's got to be according to the will of God, not something, you know, off, goofy. You know, when I say goofy, you know what I mean by that. Just something that's not the will of God. And so here you can see, well, verse 24, where prayer is concerned, you're to do what? Pray and believe that you receive when you pray. And what does it say? You might have them? No, it says you will have them. You shall have it. And so here we can see that the we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to speak to those things that are in the way. What does it say? We get justified by faith. Man believes in his heart and does what? Confesses with his mouth. So we're justified by faith. We walk and live by faith. We overcome by faith. What else? We resist by faith. I mean, other scriptures that we have. We please God by faith, Hebrews 11:6. So we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Amen. I'll tell you, it's exciting to me because this life that we live is a life of what? Faith. Let's turn over a minute to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's say this, I am a believer, and I am not a doubter, and my faith works. My faith works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by, or we walk by faith and not by sight. The 20th century New Testament says, for we guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. We guide our lives by faith. That means everything we do, we guide those choices that we make by faith. Now, let's take a look at something in Acts 14. It's almost, you know, when I think about Acts 14, it reminds me a little bit about Matthew in chapter 9, when at the beginning of that chapter, the man who was sick of the palsy was let down through the roof, and Jesus did what? He saw the faith, and what did he do? He told him to do something. So that means he did what? He perceived faith. He saw in what they were doing faith. And it caused Jesus at that point, what did he say? He said something to him. He said, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Well, let's look at Acts 14, kind of similar in a way, in verse 8. So faith, you know, can be there. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But that's not the end, is it? That's just faith comes. Now, in order for that to be activated, how many in college took chemistry? Or how many in high school took chemistry? How many know that you could take some components or elements, and in their own state, they just if they're separated, they don't do anything, right? But you mix some components together and you can get bada boom, right? I remember in college, there was some pranksters, you know, they want to mix some things together. I don't know if they wanted to just get out of class. I don't know. But you can mix some things together and you can activate something, right? You can activate some things in class by mixing certain elements together. Well, if I mix faith together with my actions, right, or my words, something is activated, right? Faith is activated. So this is what we have here, Acts 14. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So here's where faith came. Look what happened. The same crippled man, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, this is Paul beholding him, did what? Perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, I don't know how, either he perceived it by his spirit or the man was trying to, we don't know. He just said he perceived that he had faith to be healed. What did he do? He said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So isn't it interesting? Faith was there. He heard Paul speak. Faith came. But nothing would have happened unless he did something. And that's where Paul came in. He perceived that he had faith, but then the faith had to be acted upon. That's where Paul said, he said what? Get up on thy feet, stand upright on thy feet. And he said, and he leaped and walked. It's almost like what we saw with Jesus when he saw the man with palsy let down from the roof. He said he saw faith. Man, you let four people break up the roof and lower you down, there's faith. Right? And so he let him down through the roof, and Jesus did pretty much the same thing. He said, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine own house. And the man did. See, so faith has to be acted upon. And the primary way, not the only way, that faith is acted upon is through our words. Right? And the reason I say primary way is because with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And what? With the mouth, your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we can see 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, we have believed, and therefore what? Speak. So that combination, those two together, you've got to believe and speak, right? James 2:17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith must be acted upon. Otherwise, we'll just sit there hoping something will happen, and it will not happen. You could hope to be saved, but unless you confess it and activate that which you believe, if you believe Jesus was raised from the dead and he took your sins, if you don't confess that, if you don't say that, you don't activate the power of God to actually cause your heart to be changed. And so you must believe and you must say. This was what Jesus was giving in Mark 11:23. He was saying, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his where? His heart. But shall believe that the things that are being said shall cause a change. You'll have it. That's what he's saying. You'll have that. So we can see here, this is just exactly what Jesus was saying. What? He was saying the same exact thing in Luke 17:5, when they said, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might do what? Say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up from the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That means it shall come to pass. So that means, you know, whatever it is, whatever little thing or big thing, it doesn't, you know what's interesting here? It doesn't say what size faith you need. It just says if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. He didn't say you need great faith, little faith. He just said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. So you've got to exercise that. And so it's what? How much did he say? Mustard-sized seed faith. What does that mean? Just a little bit. That's what that means, right? Sometimes we're thinking we need to have X amount of faith to walk on the water. What did Peter do? He just got out of the boat and started walking. And what happened? The power of God caused him to be supported on the water. He just released. He said, come, and he did. He acted. You know, I think about the various things in my life that were seemingly impossible to the natural mind. I mean, they were impossible. I should have gone down under, as they say, like Peter, in the natural. And I was just smart enough to just, even though it looked impossible, there's no way in the natural I could have manipulated, did something to change the course of what was coming at me. There was no way. I couldn't have picked up the phone and called somebody. I couldn't have paid enough money. There was no way. And you know, you just start to release words that were given to you by God, either in his word or directly, and you begin to say it, and you begin to say it, and you begin to say it. That's why I'm convinced that God is doing something in the midst regarding this church. If we will just believe and continue to say and not doubt in your heart, not try to figure it out, not wonder how come, why not, just believe the things that you say, it shall come to pass. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for people that'll get out of the boat and walk on the water and not wonder about it, just do it. Why? Because he said so. Just come. Come over here. And a lot of people, it's like Mike Keyes. That's why I'm just so excited. What'd he do? He bought a one-way ticket, one way with $20 in his pocket, and he went. And he didn't come back. See, that's faith. And God began to unfold and show him what to do. And so you can see here that it's the same thing. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you face, maybe nothing's going on, but take this right now, and when things happen, you've got something to stand on. You know what to do. Don't give in to the symptoms. Don't give in to things. You know, these are the kind of things that people do. Well, I'm not going to go to the doctor. That's foolishness. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you need to get financial help, get financial help. It doesn't mean that you don't get natural help when you need it. But it also means if God wants you to stand in faith, then you stand in faith. Because there's some things that, you know, and I always say this, don't put your trust in doctors. Don't put your trust in an accountant. Put your trust in God. Oh, if you go to the doctor, you're just going to get some assistance in something. Let me ask a question. Do you go to the dentist? Well, I don't go to the dentist. Oh, really? You're going to be a mess. That's where people are just goofy. I'm not going to go to the doctor, but you go to the dentist because you need to get your teeth cleaned or you won't have any teeth. It's just foolishness. I'm just going to believe God for no cavities. Oh, okay. You can believe for that if you want, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you do need to get some natural assistance in some things and to help you. And so I just say, if you're going to go and do some things, just use some wisdom where things are concerned. See, doctors don't heal you. Medicine doesn't heal you. The Word of God heals you. According to your faith, be it unto you. It didn't say according to your faith in the doctor. It doesn't say according to this or that. It just says according to your faith in who? Faith in God. Faith in his word. Be it unto you. So that's what you have to have. Faith in God. So how much faith do you need? Mustard seed faith. I like this. Let me read this this is the RIEU translation. It says, if any man orders this mountain to be removed and cast into the sea and does not waver where, and it says in his heart, but believes that what he does says is done, it will be done for him. You know, just thinking about this, how does one not waver in their heart? You get enough of the God's word in your heart and you will not waver. You can't waver. What is the word? The word is God. Does God waver? No. So if I get enough of God's word in me, I will not waver. I will not doubt. I cannot waver. How many have had experiences where you get enough of God's word, I know I've had on a few occasions, where it's almost like supernatural faith. I'm not trying to work up something. I mean, it is supernatural faith to the point where I've got this. You can't beat it out of me. I know I have it. And yet all of the conditions, all the circumstances say otherwise. But there's such a knowing inside me that I just keep going. I just get up and keep moving in the direction of what the answer is, because I've got it. And how did that come? It came by feeding and keep feeding on the Word of God. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said before they had cell phones and all of this kind of business, he used to write his wife. This is back in the 40s and 50s. They would write letters to each other. And he would say that before, if it was an emergency, they would call, but he said that was a long distance call and that was expensive. But he said that before, if it wasn't an emergency, before he would pray, he would feed upon the Word of God and he'd feed upon the scriptures that promised what he was going to pray about. And he would not release his words beforehand. He wouldn't just quick pray. He would meditate upon the scriptures so that when he prayed, he did it in faith. And he knew he had the answer. And sometimes we're quick to pray. Sometimes we just gonna pray quick, but is faith there? And sometimes you'll know if faith is there or not. Do you have confidence? Sometimes, you know, it's good to ask somebody after you prayed, did you get it? If they say, I'm not sure, you know what you say to them? You didn't. You didn't get it. That's not being rude. That's just the truth. If a person's not sure after we've prayed that they got it, then they didn't get it. Because then you're believing and they're hoping. Believing is confidence that you have it when you prayed. Isn't that what it said in Mark 11:24? When you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. So that says right there, if you're in faith, that when you pray, you believe you receive. So if you're not sure, then you weren't in faith when you prayed. So maybe it's better to just say, you know what, hold up, let me meditate on the scriptures, let me sit under the word a little bit, and then we'll pray. That's why you heard Brother Hagin say sometimes he would make people come to the meetings before he would lay hands on people. He'd make them come to the meetings and say, look, if you're not in a hurry, come for 3 or 4 days and sit under the word and let the word get inside of your heart so that when we pray, faith is released. And you're confident you got it, not hoping. And that goes for us every day, right? When we're believing for something specific, meditate in the word a little bit. Find the promises of God. Because what does it boil down to? Be it unto you according to your faith. No faith, no results. That's the truth. Now let's just take one look, just a scripture. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Familiar scripture verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The New Living says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. The NIV says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children. So we're to be imitators or followers of God. What did God do? What did Jesus do when he was here? We just got done. He would do what? When he didn't get results, he would go and do what? Teach and preach and then heal. in that order. He would teach and preach and heal. What did God do? Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1. And you can see what Jesus did. What did he do? He spoke to the fig tree, cursed it. Spoke to the seas. Spoke to the devil. It is written. But when you look at chapter 1 of Genesis, if we're to be imitators or followers of God, follow his example, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, and verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And what? And there was. And God's in verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst. And verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. You get in the picture? Verse 11, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said, get in the picture, God said, God spoke, and it was. Which is what we just got done, what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. He said, you can do the same thing to this fig tree if you will speak and doubt not in your heart, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. And so pick something. I know for me, there's things you just find something that you desire and begin to do what? Pray and believe you receive and you shall have it. There really is nothing impossible. Don't say, I can't. We're talking about having the faith of God. If he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. You know, it was a revelation to me when I was questioning about prosperity, giving at that time probably 20, 30%. I kept upping it. And I had a heart to do that. I had faith to do that. But I wasn't releasing words. And it was a great revelation to me when the Holy Spirit said to me in a time of prayer, he said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Be it unto you according to your faith. No faith, no increase. And so, there's nothing impossible to us who believe. And so we ought not say, I can't afford to do this. I can't do this. I can do all things through Christ. He supplies my need according to Christ Jesus. You know, think about that scripture in Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not with thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct your paths. So this is why I keep saying, just keep speaking the word. When it says acknowledge, that word acknowledge, just look it up in the English dictionary. You can look it up in the Strong's online. It says to confess. That is another word for acknowledge. So in other words, when you acknowledge him, that means you're confessing the word. You're speaking the word. So if you acknowledge him, it says he will direct your paths. What does that mean? He will cause it to come to pass. So if I begin to say, my bank accounts are full, everything I set my hands to is blessed, I believe God's leading me to the good things. I believe I'm not restricted in life. I believe I'm not restricted in my income. I believe that God is blessing me. I believe that because I've sown my seed, that he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I am bountifully blessed in my health and my finances. And what does it say? As you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. What does that mean? He gonna direct you in a way to cause that to come to pass. Stop trying to figure out how. He's the performer. He's the one that makes it come to pass. He's the one that's directing our steps. He's the one that says, pick the phone up, or somebody calls you with this business opportunity, or somebody says, hey, let me just bless you with this. He's directing your path. But we've got to acknowledge him. We've got to be the ones doing what? Speaking what we believe and not doubting in our heart. Believing what? That God's for me. He's without shadow. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. He cannot lie. If he said it in his word, it's got to come to pass. It must. And that to me is the same whether you have children that have gone astray. You just continue to say, I believe that my children serve the Lord. Even when they're off in left field somewhere doing goofy stuff. God will direct that. He will see to it that they serve the Lord. Now, yes, they'll have to make a decision at some point, but I'm telling you, if we just stick with the word and stick with that and acknowledge it, what did he say in John 15? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So that's the key. Let the word abide in you. Keep your heart from doubt and unbelief. Keep your heart from strife and bitterness and all of that. Keep your heart pure. Keep it right. And you keep the word in it. And you do what? Believe God for those things. It's like Brother Hagin. I like that term he used. Set your sights high. I'd rather set my sights high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get them all. So that means I'm going to set something higher than I can possibly reach or do. What do you say? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So that means I'm going to set something higher than my thoughts. Something that's just way out beyond something. There's no way I could reach that, but with him I can. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for people that'll get out on the water and walk with him. And yes, we're all not there, but how do we get there? We get there by letting the word get in to push the doubt and the ideas out that we can't get there. We just keep keeping the word in, and then what happens? Faith comes. Confidence comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe it. I'm telling you, I'm convinced that the things that God has spoken over this ministry, I don't understand it all. But I'm convinced, you know, there's certain things that, you know, when you kind of, your mind wants to wander, you know what I mean by that? You know, you have those wandering days where your mind goes, whoa, come back here. We're not going to wander over there because that's doubt land. That's doubt land. We're not going over to doubt land. We want to be in faith land, right? But every time, you know, my mind wants to wander or look at doubt land, the Lord reminds me. He said, I was the one that spoke to you about this, wasn't I not? And I go, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's come back over here to faith land. Because sometimes when things are not changing the way you think they should change, the Lord has a way of reminding you, was I not the one that spoke to you about this? And that's why, you know, sometimes I wasn't even thinking about this. This was somewhere when Dr. Price was here in 1990. He spoke some words by the Spirit, and I remember Pastor Sarah said I wanted to hit him because he was speaking when he was teaching, and he said, "I know you like it here, but you're not going to stay here in this place." And that's when he said, "You can stay here if you want," he said, "but I won't be in it." And so I'm running sound. I don't recall all these things. We archive them. We keep them, but I don't recall them. Some I do, but I didn't recall that. And I remember just working around here one day, I heard down here, the thought came, go pull out that prophecy from Dr. Price on 1990. And you know what I did? I said, oh yeah, okay, all right, okay. And a year went by, and the thought came up again, go pull out this prophecy. And I said, yeah, okay. And when Pat Kennedy was here, I said, Pat, after a couple years, I said, Pat, can you go pull that prophecy out? We had those meetings all in a binder. I said, go pull that out, find these words, and transcribe them and send them to me. Man, I laid down on the floor and cried like a baby because I said, oh, God, this is what you're saying. Because he had been speaking some things to me about the mall and the Sears building, and I'm questioning why. Why are we doing that? For what? And that's when he said, go listen to this. This is what I'm telling you. Yes, this is a wonderful place, but there's something God has got in mind that's bigger than this that we don't see yet. Can you imagine Noah hadn't seen rain, and he says, build a boat. What's a boat? What's rain? And he did that for hundreds of years. Hundreds. I'm not talking about 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 40. Hundreds of years. He built a boat. Hadn't seen rain. Never saw it before. Can you imagine what he went through? Building a boat for something he'd never experienced. It's kind of the same thing. God just said, believe for that. Because I said so. And that's what it is. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but sometimes your mind will say, eh, I know you said that, but okay. And then he's got to remind me, what did I say? What did I say through Dr. Price? What did I say to you? And I just, that's what brings me back to keeping steady, believing that the things that we're saying, even where the $80,000 is concerned. You call those things in that what? Be not. You call those things that be not. You speak to those things that be not. Faith gives substance to things not seen. So whether it's for ministry or personal, you're always exercising your faith for things God's promised that you don't see. And that's what pleases God. This is what pleases him. And I'm excited about it. And to me, these principles that we learn and we exercise, can you imagine when God now prompts you and says, okay, you've learned enough, now go on a missions trip. Begin to exercise your faith in this area. See, this is training for us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we have faith. We're not doubters, but believers. We're children of God that have received a measure of the God like God kind of faith. And we thank you that that faith created the worlds. And we thank you that we don't create worlds, but we speak things into existence at your direction. And we thank you, Father, for it. thank you that we endeavor to please you with faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And Father, we thank you that our bodies are healed, our finances are whole. And we thank you, Father, that our bodies are strong. We're not weak, but we're strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. And we thank you, Father, that we have the peace of God that garrisons about our hearts and minds, keeps our hearts and minds right. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for your word, which is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit. And we thank you, Father, that we mix faith with what we've heard this evening. And we thank you, Father, that we are not living low life, but we're living an overcoming life in Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Amen. Amen.